seat somewhere, or if you've got it tucked away in your Bible, just pick it out, lay it to one side. I want to make some references about it in just a few moments. And notice also the sheet that we've got where it lists the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. As we go over each one of these kings, notice, if you will, you'll see some scriptures under each king. It'll be scriptures from the kings and scriptures from 2 Chronicles. As we begin our study tonight, we're going to begin with the 15th chapter of 1 Kings. And then we're going to look at the 2nd chapter, 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. So those will be the two places where we'll begin tonight. And we'll just go as far as time allows. And I think I've got the devotional tonight. Is that right?
Yes.
So if I creep over a little bit, I'll just make it up in the shortening of the devotional a little bit. We want to go as far as we can. Remember, if you will, we started out with the two kings, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam being the son of Solomon. Jeroboam being the servant that God chose to take the place of the king that Rehoboam. Remember, if you will, God told Solomon that he's going to take 10 tribes away from him. But because of David, he was going to leave Rehoboam, Solomon's son, with two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. So Jeroboam was selected to take the place to be the king that would reign over those 10 tribes, which would be known as the tribe of Israel or the children of Israel. And of course, the other two tribes, if you'll notice, will be referred to as Judah. So we'll be referring and talking back and forth through this study. Sometimes we'll be talking about the king of Israel. Sometime we'll be talking about the king of Judah. Now, we can also notice that as we go through the study, it's going to also describe them in a descriptive way as the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. When you're talking about the northern kingdom, you're going to be talking about Israel. When you're talking about the southern kingdom, you're going to be talking about Judah and Jerusalem. Now, also, as we go through this study, if you have the map handy, you're going to notice some countries that are going to come into play. Countries that we talked about when Moses brought the children of Israel, or Joshua brought them up to the land of Canaan, to carry them across the Jordan into the land of Canaan. We're going to readdress a lot of those countries that Moses dealt with, as well as Joshua, many, many years ago. Now, the reason we're going to be discussing them, as these kings go and come, we're going to notice that some of these countries are going to try to attack them again. Remember, if you will, David, when he was the king, defeated all these countries, took them, and basically had stations in those countries. But now you're going to notice, as time goes by, God's going to allow these kings that reign over these kingdoms to reappear. And it's going to be because of the unfaithfulness of these kings, the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Now notice, if you will, if you've looked, there's three sheets that we're going to be looking at as we go through the kings. There's not going to be one good king that ever reigns in Israel. Now keep that in mind. Also keep in mind that Israel is going to be the first group to see that there's going to be about six really good kings. And the first one that we'll start looking at probably tonight is Asa, who lived and reigned 41 years. You're going to notice that his son, Jehoshaphat, is going to run and rule in his stead. And after Jehoshaphat, you're going to see his son, Joram, reign. And you're going to notice what out the side of his name? He's evil. Now, the problem is going to come when we get down to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is going to form a league with Ahab, who is the king of Israel. And notice, if you will, the exact same thing that's going to happen with the surrounding kings is going to happen here. Once they form a league, guess what's going to happen? Ahab is going to give his daughter to Jehoshaphat so that Jehoshaphat's son and Ahab's daughter can be married. And this woman is going to be called Athaliah. Now here's where the trouble starts. In Judah, everything had gone relatively well. Though Rehoboam is referred to as an evil king, and his son Abijah referred to as evil, they're relatively good when compared to what's going to happen down the road. Once Jehoshaphat, who is a good king, teams up with Ahab and allows his son to marry Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. Now notice, if you will, at the bottom of the chart, you're going to see Joram under Judah. Who do you see under Israel? Joram. Not the same person, though. That's going to be his brother-in-law. He is going to be a descendant of Ahab, Ahaziah, and Joram. So there are two different men that wear the same name. One's going to be the king of Judah. The other is going to be the king of Israel. Now, a lot of the reasons that you're going to notice that they team up together is because these countries that we're talking about on the map is reappearing. You're going to notice on this map that at the top of the map, Assyria is reigning as a country. And later on, as Assyria begins to build, you're going to notice that Assyria comes right down the map. And if you notice, there's the way of the sea. It's a highway that runs right through the middle of this map. Assyria is going to drop down, and they're going to take over Phoenicia and on down into Syria and Phoenicia. And, of course, you can see when they get there, they're just a step away from coming right into Israel. But now what you're going to see before we get to Assyria, we're going to see cities or kingdoms like Philistia, Edom, Moab, Gilead, Ammon, Bashan, Aram. You're going to see these kings and these countries come back into play as the children of Israel and the children of Judah, when they're not battling each other, they're going to be having to deal with these other countries that are trying to infiltrate Israel and infiltrate Judah. So the map is going to be real active. You're also going to notice that on this map, notice, if you will, right above Moab, you're going to see a river that runs from the Dead Sea right through the middle of Moab, and it's going to be referred to on the map as the Arnon River. Now, there's going to be another river at the top that runs right through Gilead. That's going to be referred to as the Jabbok River. There's going to be a lot of activity going on between the Jabbok and the Arnon River. Because in the middle, if you'll notice, there's Mount Nebo, there's Gilgal, there's Gilead, there's Ramoth. And these are really important trade cities. Notice, if you will, this map, just like the way of the sea is referred to as the King's Highway. So you go all the way from Edom, all the way up into Assyria, you can travel the King's Highway. So the trade routes are very, very important, and that seemed to be a prime piece of property that every kingdom wanted. Remember, if you will, when the children of Israel got ready to cross the Red Sea, what did some of these people want? They were going across the Red Sea into the land of Canaan, but what did a couple of these tribes ask for?
They would stay back.
Yes, they wanted to stay. That's the area that they wanted to stay in. And, of course, they had to agree. Yes, you can stay, you can have that, but you've got to go over and you've got to fight for your brothers to be able to conquer the land of Canaan. So, it's going to be a lot going on now as we go through our study when we pick up with the King Asa, who reigned for 41 years. Notice, if you will, Jeroboam is going to be dead. Nadab, his son, is going to pick up, and he's going to reign just 2 years. But remember, if you will, there was a statement made by the prophet to Jeroboam before his death. Does anybody remember what it was? Absolutely. Because of Jeroboam's disobedience to God, remember, he was promised, if you'll be faithful like my son David was faithful, you'll be able to reign and your descendants as king of Israel as long as you're faithful. What was the problem? He was never faithful. Remember, he's the one that changed the worship service. He's the one that the prophet of God out of Judah had to go to. So he never started right, and because of that, the prophet told him, okay, you weren't faithful, you've been disobedient, your family is going to be cut off. Now we're going to notice how that becomes a reality. We're going to pick up now. Any questions, though, before we start in chapter 15, 1 Kings? All right, notice, if you will, it has this to say, beginning in chapter 15. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Absalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. Notice we're talking now about Abijah that reigned under Rehoboam, that reigned for 3 years. And it says that he did not follow after Solomon nor David, but he followed after his dad, Rehoboam. He goes on to say in verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, turned not aside for anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, say who? Look at it. Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now that did not necessarily mean that they were in battle each time. For the entire period of time, now notice, if you will, Rehoboam reigned 17 years before before he dies in Jeroboam 22. Right in the beginning, remember, if you will, they were about to lock horns, and God spoke to Rehoboam through the prophet and said, you better not do it. God gave Jeroboam these 10 tribes, and you better not go to battle against them. Now, later on, they didn't necessarily go and fight hand to hand, sword to sword, spear to spear. But what the text is saying throughout the lifetime of both of these kings, there was never any peace, never any harmony. They never got along. And from time to time, they even went to battle with one another. Then notice, if you will, it says Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Asa is going to be the first good king that we're going to talk about. And as you notice here, he had a rather lengthy time to serve as king. He reigned for 41 years. And Jehoshaphat took up his son and reigned another 25. So notice, if you will, you're looking at 40, 50, 60, 6 years that two good kings reigned in Judah. So there were some good times during that period of time. Now, we're going to continue to go. Notice, if you will, it says in verse 9, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. So you're going to notice sometimes as we're looking at these kings and we're picking them as we're going down, you're going to notice that one king is going to outlive the other one. He's going to be reigning. Before he dies, there'll be one or two more that reign under either Israel or Judah before this rotation of kings continue to go. Now, we're going to try to keep it as fluid as we can and try to keep it as clear and precise. I hope the chart will help. For you to do that in your reading. Because sometimes if you're not careful, you'll be reading along and you're thinking you're reading about Judah, and then all of a sudden the text changes and you're talking about Israel or vice versa. Now, Abijam is now dead. Asa is taken over. Jeroboam's still living. And it talks about, verse 11, that Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, removed all the idols that his fathers had made, and also Majah his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, the things which himself had dedicated, into the house of the Lord, silver, gold, and vessels. Now look at verse 16. There was war between Asa and Baasha, a king of Israel. Look at your map. Look at your chart. Here's Jeroboam. Here's Nadab. Here is Baasha. Now, old Baasha, who picks up and reigns for 24 years under Israel, is going to fulfill a prophecy. He's going to take the life of Nadab's children, Jeroboam's children. There's not going to be anybody left from these two men to carry on their seed. Baasha is going to take over, and he's going to reign for a while, and guess what's going to happen? Because he's so evil and so corrupt. We said on Sunday morning, Baasha didn't do this to just help God out. Baasha did this for power. And he didn't do it to purge the sins of Israel. He did it to take over as king, to to take the power. And the same thing is going to happen to Baasha's household that happens to Jeroboam. It's going to be destroyed. So chapter 16 of 1 Kings 15 kind of gives us a brief. Now when we switch in a few moments over to 2 Chronicles, you're going to see more details given. It says, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah, built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that was left in the treasure of the house of the Lord, the treasure of the king's house, delivered them into the hand of his servants, and King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. Now watch your mouth. You see what's happening now? Asa is teaming up with the king of Syria. Here's Syria on the map, right under Assyria. Syria's under, see, Damascus, that's the capital of Syria. Ben-Hadad is the title that most of the kings wore. When you're talking about Ben-Hadad, it may be Ben-Hadad 1, 2, 3, or 4. Just like you pick up with the pharaohs of Egypt. It may be Pharaoh 1, 2, 3, 4. So Asa, the king of Judah now, makes a pact with Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, to go against Baasha, who is the king of Israel. Now this is really going to get Asa, as we'll see, in some pretty deep trouble. This happens toward the end. What we're doing in Kings, we're taking a quick view. We're talking about now in Kings, Asa at the end of his 40-something year reign. We're going to read the good things that he did when we look at the Chronicles, when we get into 2 Chronicles. So he's going to be rebuked by the prophet Hananiah, because of him relying on the king of Damascus to help him in battle. Now, notice, if you will, as we go on, talks about him going in and uses Ben-Hadad as help, and you're going to notice that they're going to come in and Ben-Hadad, well, we're not going to pick this up, I don't think, until we get to the Chronicles. But while Ben-Hadad is fighting the king of Israel, Baasha, Asa's going to take a group of soldiers, and they're going to go across, and they're going to steal all the material and all the lumber that they're uses to build a fenced city and bring it over and use it themselves to build their own fenced city. So you're going to see some problems going on between those two. Now it says, all the sins of Baasha, I'm at 13. Now let me back up just a little bit. Let's pick up in verse 9 of 1 Kings 15. His servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against them as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Azra's servant in his house in Tirzah. Zimri went in and smote him and killed him, and in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left him not one man nor a friend. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. And for all the sins of Baasha and all the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned and by which they had made Israel to sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities, the rest of the acts of Elah did he, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles? Then he goes on in verse 15 to say, in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign in his stead. So you can see how we're rolling through these kings of Judah. You turn over to verse 16, talks about Zimri conspiring against the king, and says all Israel made Omri the captain of the host over Israel. Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, burnt the king's house down over him with fire, and died. For his sins, which he had sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam. You're going to notice every time you see a bad king die in Israel, it's going to say they sinned like their father Jeroboam. They died like their sin Jeroboam. You're going to hear that over and over and over. Now notice, if you will, we've gone through Jeroboam, we've gone through Nadab, we've gone through Baasha, we've gone through Ella, who was killed by Zimri, and look how long Zimri lasted. 1 week. And Omri comes in to the picture next. So you can see how that these kings in Israel are coming and going while Asa and Jehoshaphat is alive. Now, Ahab is going to come in and reign for 20-something years. And he's going to be reigning while Asa, toward the end of Asa's life, and into Jehoshaphat's life. And that's where we're going to really see the prophets. We're going to spend a lot of time not necessarily studying about Ahab and Jezebel, as wicked as they were. God is going to really make an all-out effort to give Israel an opportunity to come back to God. And he's going to raise up two prophets. Anybody read ahead to know what two prophets is going to come into play? Who? Elijah and Elisha is going to come into the picture. And they're going to do everything that they can do to get Ahab to turn things around and to get him to repent. Now, here's what's going to happen. What Ahab is going to do that Jeroboam never did. Jeroboam made him two golden calves. And he said, you come on and worship just like you've always worshiped. You make your sacrifices just like you've always sacrificed. It's going to be very similar to the way you worshiped all along. We're worshiping God. You know what Ahab's going to do? Ahab is going to take these golden calves, and he's going to take the worship that they had been performing under Jeroboam. Throw it out the window. We're not worshiping God anymore. We're going to worship Baal. And we're going to worship another God. Why do you think he came to this conclusion? Jezebel is a daughter of a Zidonian king. And he embraces her gods. So now you've replaced any shape, form. No, their worship wasn't correct under Jeroboam. But they weren't worshiping male and female prostitutes in the temple. So from a moral standpoint, they were better off under Jeroboam, morally, than they would ever be under Ahab. So you can see why there would be a need to raise up these two prophets. to try to cry out to Ahab and to Jezebel to try to get them to come back. It would be kind of like the religious world round about us today. You know, there are so many good, honest, sincere people involved in the religious world round about us. We began looking at that on Sunday night, talking about how the religious system as we know it today started, got its beginning back about 350 AD, how it's arrived, and we'll be looking at that throughout the ages. You know, no, they may not be worshiping the way the Bible says, in the sense that they're worshiping the way God wants you to worship. But morally speaking, the religious world or the world is much better morally than it would be without that. And you see how the two kind of compare. You compare the religious world that we're living in to what's going on in some of these countries that are worshiping Mohammed, that are worshiping the Quran rather than the Bible. You see where the similarities can be? You see why Ahab got in so much trouble, and that's the reason I want to spend some time on these prophets, because we're going to have a lot of really good information about these two prophets and how they came to be. Talk about that a little bit later. We're out of time. We'll pick up in 2 Chronicles 14 on Sunday morning.